Today's show is brought to you by LMH Strategies, Inc., a leadership, management, and human systems consulting company.
When you're a college athlete, I think you have to be that much more careful when you use social media. But I think what's also bigger picture even is just how the world uses social media. And I think it goes beyond just what you post in your social media. But this day and age, if you're a college athlete and you're out somewhere and you're well-known in your community and you do something in public that somebody else captures and posts on their social media, that can also, you know, reflect in a negative light as well.
Welcome to Field Goals for the Focus Driven Athlete, hosted by Glenn Hames, where we share tips and strategies that help amateur athletes, coaches, and teams achieve their on and off the field athletic goals. Our show discusses topics important to the elite amateur athlete. Whether you play football, basketball, soccer, or any other active sport, either on the field or court, our experienced industry experts, coaches, and former professional athletes will provide firsthand insight on topics that will give athletes who desire to play sports at the highest level an edge over their competition and undoubtedly will help turn their athletic goals into a reality. When there's a new season, there are new goals. What's your field goals? So I have a story to tell, and unfortunately, one that doesn't have a happy ending to it either. It involves a former student of mine, his teammates, and their social media accounts when he was a freshman basketball player at the University of Minnesota. Now, before I get into the details, I need to provide some context and give you a quick heads up that the name of said athlete has been changed to protect his identity. So around 2015, I got pulled into a consulting gig at a private school in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area because they needed some assistance in their math department. What I didn't realize is when they said consulting, they actually really meant teach. Now, I had some experience teaching before, but I hadn't taught kids in the classroom in over 15 years. So in my mind, I was like, oh, hell to the no. But money talks, and this assignment was for only 3 months anyway. So I said, what the heck? Now, I don't care how experienced of a teacher one may be, you're always going to get that one student that wants to push the limits to see what you're actually made out of. And for me, that was Chuck. Now, Chuck was actually a decent kid. He just liked to get over a lot, and he often used his charm to manipulate his classmates and teachers to get what he wanted. But I peeped this game from the very beginning. He didn't realize I had already done my homework on him and found out that this was his third high school in 4 years, and that he also had a D1 scholarship to play basketball at the University of Minnesota. Well, Chuck thought he could get over on me by not doing his work, playing around, and making snarky comments. Until one day, he really started feeling froggy and wanted to jump bad at me. But I didn't flinch, and I didn't even get upset. Because you see, as a teacher, the pen is mightier than the sword. In other words, I looked that joker dead in his eyeballs and reminded him that math is a core subject that is required to play sports in college, and I had no problem failing his ass and making him lose his scholarship. Man, let me tell you, that cat did a 180 turnaround faster than Lyndon Blair's neck in The Exorcist. I mean, he even came to my class at the school with his tail tucked between his legs and begged me not to fail him. He assured me I wouldn't have no more issues out of him, and I knew I wouldn't, but I used that moment to tell him I wasn't playing around either. Before he left, I encouraged him to be focused, to finish strong, and to stay out of situations. And if he did that, he was good with me. But most importantly, I used that time to give him some sound advice on college life as an athlete and how to avoid the pitfalls that naive students often experience during their first year in school. I also let him know I loved him, I was rooting for him, and I will be following his college career at Minnesota. Now, fast forward a year later, I watched Chuck play on TV, and he even started a few games as a freshman too. He was doing well, and I was really proud that he seemed to be handling his business. But one day, right before tournament time, I was sitting in my office and I heard that famous ESPN alert chime on my computer. Breaking news. 3 Minnesota men's basketball players were suspended over the weekend for a violation of team rules after a sexually explicit video appeared on their Instagram and Twitter social media accounts. I pray to God that Chuck wasn't one of them. But deep down, I already knew. I stopped what I was doing and looked up the information, and sure enough, there it was staring me in black and white. I was furious and sad for him at the same time, but honestly, I wasn't overly surprised. Chuck and the other two involved were eventually kicked off the team and expelled from school, ending his Division I collegiate run before it even got started. And he tried to make a comeback, but his life and athletic career was never the same again after that. The story I just shared is a prime example of how important it is for an athlete to be careful when using Instagram, Twitter, and other social media sites. High school and college student athletes need to remember that freedom of speech does not equal freedom from consequences. And posting inappropriate, controversial, or offensive content on social media channels or maintaining connections with questionable individuals over various social networks can and often will have a huge impact on their future. College coaches are known to use social media to get a better understanding of a recruit's personality and character. While a poorly managed social media page can hurt an athlete's recruitment, a well-managed account can increase a coach's interest in recruiting you. In a survey by Cornerstone Reputation, 83% of college coaches said their staff conducted online research of recruits. Of these coaches, 88% turned to Facebook, 82% have used Twitter, and 54% have looked at Instagram to gain insight into a recruit's character. So how do prospective recruits avoid the problems that have plagued so many? By keeping it G-rated. And that G doesn't mean gangsta. No inappropriate photos, no profanity, and don't violate NCAA rules. If you're an athlete that's serious about looking for an athletic scholarship, think very hard about each and every share, post, or tweet, and take extra care to ensure that you do not throw away your career for a careless social media post. By understanding how coaches use social media, student athletes can better learn how to use their social media platforms for college recruitment. My next guest is a former TV sportscaster and has over 10 years recruiting experience as a senior recruiting manager at The Next College Sports Athlete, the world's largest and most experienced college athletic recruiting network. So joining me on the field to discuss the pros and cons of social media for athletes, David Kimiasek, coming up next on Field Goals for the Focus-Driven Athlete. All right, welcome back to another edition of Field Goals for the Focus-Driven Athlete. We got a good one today, representing the number one organization in the world for athletic recruiting, David Kimiasek. Welcome to the field.
Glad, it's great to be here. How are we doing?
Doing great, man. Glad to have you on.
Appreciate the time. Yeah, excited to talk some recruiting here in social media.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, David, before we get started, just got to let you know, I've been following NCSA for a long time now, and I remember stumbling across you all just by accident, probably about 4 years ago, and started using a lot of your content for our social media posts before I even kicked off the podcast. So never in my wildest dreams did I ever imagine I'll actually have a rep from NCSA on the show, but so glad we were able to make the connection and get you guys on.
Yeah, we've been around for 22 years. We put a lot of great content out there, and I'm flattered to say that, but I'm excited to talk to you guys and hopefully educate everyone listening here in terms of social media. And certainly we'll dive into the positives of it and sometimes the negatives of it as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think what, David, would be real good for our listeners is if you just talk about who NCSA is, because I don't think, you know, some of our listeners may know who you guys are. So talk about who you guys are and what you guys do for amateur athletes.
Sure. So as I mentioned, we've been around for about 22 years now. We're the world's largest athletic recruiting network. So the simplest analogy that I'll use is it's sort of like a LinkedIn for high school athletes and college coaches. So if you're a professional and you're looking to get a job, get your name out there, you're going to build an online profile on LinkedIn to kind of get your resume out there. And in our world, the student athletes do the same. So student athletes can build an online resume that has really every piece of information a college coach needs to know about them, from their stats to their videos, their transcripts, their measurables. And then what college coaches do is they come into our network to identify and evaluate student athletes. And we do a lot of education, a lot of hand-holding throughout the process as well. So beyond the technology that we provide for families, we also do a great job of kind of providing some almost like an advisor type role, and making sure that these families know the process, because as you mentioned, so many families just have no clue about recruiting in general, and there's so many myths and misconceptions out there. So we take pride in making sure families have the tools and the knowledge they need to hopefully help their student athlete get to that end goal of being a college athlete.
Nice. Real nice. Nice. And, you know, we throw out a lot of acronyms, and I don't know if people know what NCSA is. So tell us what that acronym stands for.
Yeah, the acronym stands for Next College Student Athlete. So we're partnered up with IMG Academy. IMG is a huge facility down in Bradenton, Florida. So we've recently joined partnership with them about a year ago. And so we provide a lot of the recruiting and athletic side of the process for those student athletes as well. But NCSA Next College Student Athlete.
All right. Nice, man. So, David, as you just heard, there's the whistle. And for us, that means the clock is running. So you're ready to take the field.
Let's do this.
All right, let's go on the field, bro. So let's jump right into it. And this topic may seem inevitable to discuss, but I think so many young people between the ages of 16 and 24 underestimate the power of social media these days. So I think it'll be helpful for you to explain to them just how powerful it is.
Yeah, and especially in the recruiting world, it's become such a popular way for college coaches to learn more about student athletes, but also for student athletes to learn more about college coaches. I think one of the important things to realize is social media is a part of the recruiting process. It's not the sole thing that's going to help you get recruited. So I think that's really important. So I think it's important to have your social media pages, to have your information, your videos, all that information on there. But social media is a huge part of life in general. You see everyone these days on their phones, and just as much as teenagers are on their phones, college coaches are on their phones looking at information. So, you know, versus when you and I were young pups and in high school, social media didn't exist. And and now it's become an essential part of not just the world, but a really important part of recruiting as well.
No, I 100% agree. So in your opinion, is social media nowadays an essential part of amateur sport and sports culture?
Yeah, I think in a big picture sort of way, absolutely. I mean, I think what social media has allowed, you know, the athletic world to do is, I think, number one, get a look into a deep dive into some of these athletes and these programs, and their a peek behind the curtain, if you will, right? I think college programs are using social media as a way to really market their program and all the cool stuff they do with the videos they're making and the graphics and all that sort of stuff. And then for student athletes, it's an opportunity for them to present themselves in a way that's going to show college coaches who they are beyond just what coaches see on the field. So I think that's a really important piece to it. I think social media can sometimes be a gift, but it can also sometimes be a curse. And that's certainly the case in recruiting as well.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that as well. You know, because social media is not going anywhere. And like it or not, if you're a high school athlete, it may not be the end all, the be all in terms of recruiting, but it's almost a guarantee it's going to play an enormous role in your college recruiting process. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think the biggest thing is that, you know, college coaches, there's so many kids out there, right? First and foremost, there's thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of high school athletes that are, you know, playing at a high level or playing for a club or travel team. And this day and age, it's just like, you know, someone asks you a question, you don't know the answer. The first thing you're going to do is hop online and try to, you know, Google something, right? And very similarly for college coaches, if they see a player they like or they hear about a player, the first thing they're going to do is hop online and look up information. And that's where, again, our network at NCSA comes into handy because, again, it provides all that information. But again, the social media side then gives coaches a little bit more of a deeper perspective of that student athlete, again, outside of what they're seeing on a video or what they see from the athletic side.
Yeah, I agree. I want you to touch on that a little bit and just explain how important a role does social media play in the college recruiting process?
Yeah, I think, again, college coaches, you know, they can't be everywhere, right? They can't be at 17 different fields every Saturday, you know, trying to see kids live and in person. So, you know, they're prioritizing who they want to go see in person. So student athletes who maybe aren't in that priority can use social media as a way to really get their name out there and kind of cast that net wide, right? It's not a matter of sort of the you know, the older days where college coaches knew their local kids, they knew the kids in the area. Now with social media and technology, if I'm living in Florida, I can look at a video of a kid in Washington, right? I can, you know, do that without having to fly across the country. And I think especially with the recruiting budgets being, you know, cut back a little bit, I think COVID played a certain part in that as well, where these college coaches don't have these massive recruiting budgets to be flying all over the country. So again, if I can sit at my desk as a college coach and, you know, sift through NCSA profiles or sift through social media pages, that's going to help simplify that process for me that much more. And again, financially, it's going to cost me less money to have to do that, sit at my desk and my computer on the internet all day versus, again, flying, driving all over the country, trying to look at kids live.
Yeah. You know, I remember back in the day when we were coming out of high school, we had to go super old school and we had VHS cassettes.
Yep. And I had buddies in high school that were cutting up their film on a VHS and sending it out. Yeah, that was the day.
Yeah, that's right, man. And you had to just go old school and put that joint like in an envelope and send it off.
Yeah, and now kids, I mean, yeah, if you finish a game, you go home, your parents have some video on their phone, you cut it up and put it in your social media page, and 2 hours later, coaches get a live look at, you know, or a recent look at the game that you just played. So,
yeah.
Again, much different than kind of the old way with sending out, you know, DVDs or VHS right. cassettes for sure.
That's right. So, look, you know, I want to read a statement to you from Jeff Scott, who was the former wide receivers coach and co-offensive coordinator at Clemson, but he's also now the head football coach at USF, University of South Florida. And this is what he said when he was at Clemson. He said, social media is a great way to communicate and learn about the prospects we are recruiting. At Clemson, we have an entire office whose sole duty is to go through the social media of our prospects. It's extremely important for us to understand who we are dealing with. That office will look through the content and report to our coaching staff on what they are finding. Every year, we will eliminate prospects on our board because of questionable content. We've eliminated guys for inappropriate language, images, retweets, or anything that we see as a red flag. Conversely, guys have moved up on our board because of the positive things we are able to learn through the various social media channels. It serves as a tremendous resource for us. What are your thoughts on this statement?
Yeah, I love what Coach said, and I think it's 100% true. I think first and foremost, when you look at the negative, I sort of said earlier, it's kind of a gift and a curse with social media. There's been stories where student athletes have been in football, if there's one example where a student athlete was committed to a school, a power conference school, they had their rivalry game and he posted some negative comments after the game, and that kind of cast a negative light on him, but also the program that he was committed to, and that school ended up pulling his offer. So again, the social media, it can be a positive when you talk about getting it, your videos out there and getting your information out there. It's again, how do you use social media? And that's a really important aspect of it, because if you use it in the right way, it can be a huge asset to you in the recruiting process. But also, we're talking about 15, 16, 17-year-old kids here who want to post cool stuff on social media and want to, you know, post funny videos of their friends or whatever the case is. If you're building a social media page and you're a college recruit or you're hoping to be a college recruit, save that for something else. Your page needs to be professional. It needs to really embody who you are, again, as a student athlete, right? That student part is just as important, but also coaches are 100% recruiting personality, the recruiting character. Those are really important pieces. And there's so many kids out there that are at an equal level, right? So if I'm a college coach and I'm recruiting five different kids for one position, and two of those kids are posting a bunch of negative stuff on social media and maybe casting themselves in a negative light, and other kids as this coach mentioned, are using it to be positive or to promote themselves or to be encouraging. I think that's where you can really kind of get a leg up. But absolutely, there have been times where student athletes have misused social media or posted, you know, risky sort of content on there, and that can hurt them in the recruiting process. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, when I read that statement, a few things stuck out to me there. One, it's clear that coaches are using social media to communicate with athletes. Two, coaches are using social media to learn about athletes because there's only so much a coach can gather from teachers and counselors and so forth. Three, they have a whole office and staff that's dedicated to scrubbing recruits' social media pages, which I think is just incredible. And lastly, you will get cut or potentially recruited based off your social media posts. So what that tells me is social media has a tremendous impact on college recruiting these days. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you had some really good points there. And again, mm-hmm. I think the world has just gone in this direction, right? And you have some college coaches that I think really adapted over the last 10 years or so and have embraced social media. And there are some coaches that kind of have that old school mentality that don't really utilize social media. And I think that can hurt those athletic programs not having that presence. But again, for student athletes, again, having that social media page and having it be a really representation of who you are as a potential recruit, not just an athlete, but a student. And again, that character, it's really, really important in recruiting these days. And I think, again, even just for student athletes being able to learn about programs, right, and follow the different athletic programs, pretty much every university, every athletic program at every university has their own social media page these days. When you look at Instagram or Twitter, whatever the case is. So there's a lot of ways for student athletes to use it as positives too, to learn about programs. And then again, for college coaches to use it as positives too, to learn about these student athletes.
So let me ask you this. If you had to rank in order the most popular or the most used social media platforms of high school or college athletes, what would they be?
Yeah, I think in terms of using it for recruiting purposes, Twitter is the main one. I think, again, a lot of college coaches and student athletes are using that. I'm not sure if you consider YouTube a social media page. I think you can, but a lot of student athletes will post their highlight videos or workout videos on YouTube, which, again, is great to do, but don't just rely on your video on YouTube being the way to get you recruited. There are thousands upon thousands of kids that post videos on YouTube. So the college coaches are just going to hop on YouTube and randomly search, hey, I need a basketball highlight film. There's going to be thousands that pop up. But I think Twitter and YouTube are the kind of main ones. I think what's becoming interesting in this day and age with recruiting in the NIL is the name, image, and likeness and how you use social media to enhance your just sort of personality and enhance who you are outside of the field. I think you're seeing college athletes these days really utilize, you know, TikTok and platforms like that to create videos and content to try to get themselves in a position to be marketable as a student athlete, which, again, about a year ago, July 1st of 2021 is when the NIL became legal. So again, where student athletes are allowed to receive financial, you know, money to receive for their name, image, and likeness. So I think that's really an interesting piece too. That's going to become more and more, I think, on top of people's minds, is how student athletes use social media. Again, the TikToks, the Instagrams of the world. You know, some of these high school athletes have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of followers already. And if they can use that as a way to create some income for themselves too, I think it's a really smart and strategic way that social media is going to be kind of rearing its new head here as we head into the rest of the 2020s.
Yeah, I completely agree. We actually did a show about two or three episodes ago on the whole NIL piece, and we brought in one of the top industry leaders, the co-founders of Mogul, to talk about the whole NIL piece and how athletes are taking advantage of their name, image, and likeness, and how they should be utilizing social media in order to profit off of that. So I completely agree with that. You know, you named a couple of social media platforms that are popular, Twitter, and TikTok nowadays, which is one of the newer platforms, you know, Facebook to a degree, Instagram to a degree. What are the most popular social media accounts that college coaches are using? Are they using the same ones, or are they just kind of focused on one or maybe two?
Yeah. And again, I think it's not even so much the college coach as much as just the athletic programs as a whole, right? And again, you mentioned it earlier where some of these universities have people that's what their job is. They're the social media director these days for the, you know, school's basketball program. So yeah, again, I think the universities are getting really smart and strategic and using it in ways to promote their program, to highlight, you know, even just, you know, with the NBA draft being a few weeks ago, these colleges that are posting all the images of how many guys they've had getting drafted on social media, right? And again, they're trying to use that to draw the interest of student athletes as much as the student athletes are using these pages to draw the interest of college coaches. So yeah, again, I think the college coaches are being smart with it. And again, you have these grad assistants and you have social media directors and recruiting coordinators at these programs that's what their job is. Their job is to figure out how to use social media to attract the top student athletes they can, but to also use it to help identify potential student athletes who are interested in recruiting.
Yeah. Are coaches having to keep up with what's popular for athletes, or is it the other way around and athletes are looking at what the college coaches are using?
Yeah, I think it's been more college coaches having to adapt to what student athletes are doing. Again, you have, you know, 50, 60-year-old college coaches that don't know anything about social media. It's really the student athletes, the kids, and I think even just the younger generation as a whole that's really, you know, providing the charge here when it comes to social media. So I think the college coaches have to adapt, right? Did any college coach know about TikTok 5 years ago? Probably not, right? But now they have to be a little bit more aware of that because that's what student athletes are using. That's what kids are using these days. So again, I think the student athletes, the kids are the ones that really lead the charge in terms of what is the popular social media platform, how are they using it? And then college coaches, they kind of have to follow in the footsteps and figure out, all right, how do we use this to our advantage?
Right. I agree. You know, we have to adapt too as a brand here. You know, we are on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, but, you know, now it seems like, you know, Reels and TikTok is the new way to go. So we're constantly making the adjustments as well. And to your point, yeah, the elite amateur athletes are the drivers here in this whole ecosystem of college athletes. So we're trying to keep up the best way we possibly can, be able to get that information out there. So I think that it may be worth for athletes to start attending seminars on how to use social media properly, because using different platforms like we just talked about may help them reach different recruiting audiences, and knowing which one to use may go a long way. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's, you know, what we try to do when we educate families. We have recruiting coaches that, again, kind of provide the handholding throughout the process. So something that they talk about all the time is, how do you use social media? What are you posting on there? How do you use it to your advantage? I think you see a lot of kids these days in the summertime, you know, showing even just like workout videos and posting it out there, that they're putting in the work in the off season. They're, you know, if their season's not going on and they're, you know, a football athlete getting prepared for the upcoming season, they're posting workout videos or stuff in the weight room. Right. And I think, again, that's just a different way for student athletes to use social media to show that they're putting in the work for sure. But yeah, the more educated you can be about anything, especially when it comes to recruiting, knowing that there are so many different pieces to the recruiting process, the more you can understand how to use social media to your benefit and what to avoid doing, I think is equally as important.
I also feel that athletes need to accept that being in the spotlight makes social media a huge part of their career and their life. And consequently, they should avoid using it recklessly and start taking it more seriously. So do you feel that athletes should educate themselves about how different social media platforms work to avoid mistakenly posting content that was not meant to be publicized?
Yeah, 100%. I think, again, the, you know, the social media world, I think, is becoming more and more similar, right? I think, again, you take a look back to maybe 10 years ago, where Twitter was just, you post stuff, right? You post little comments about your day or whatever the case is going on. And then the TikTok was more of the video world, and Instagram was more of the picture world. But now, again, a lot of these platforms are combining everything, where you can post videos on all of these sites. You can, you know, post articles, you can post different things, right? That wasn't the case 10 years ago. But as social media has begun to evolve as well, again, the student athletes have been able to evolve, and the coaches, as to how to utilize that. So again, I think being aware of all the different platforms out that are out there, I think, again, don't want to maybe just focus on one. If you can have multiple platforms that you're utilizing, have a YouTube page, have a Twitter account, have an Instagram. And if you want to get into the TikTok world, that's certainly fine. But again, just be aware of what you post out there, because, you know, even you can relate it to, you know, anything of these days, where, you know, a guy gets drafted in the NFL and there are people that spend 5 hours looking through every Twitter post he's ever had to see if he ever posted anything semi-negative to turn into an article to bash that student athlete. Yeah. So again, even just looking back and, all right, what did I post 2 years ago? Maybe I wasn't thinking about being a college athlete 2 years ago. Maybe I need to go back and delete some old stuff or get rid of some stuff. Because, again, when you post something out there in the world these days on you know, social media or the internet, it's there forever, right? It doesn't go away. So, again, that's where you have to be extra careful. And again, even maybe take a look back at the stuff that you were posting when you were 13, 14 years old and weren't thinking about this. And I think it goes to parents too, right? Parents have social media pages as well. And if I'm a college coach and I'm seriously recruiting somebody, as much as I'm going to look at the student athlete's page, maybe I check mom or dad's page out to find out more about them too. So something that not just kids need to be aware of, but parents as well.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. So how can athletes utilize social media, or better yet, how should they be using social media during this whole recruiting process?
Yeah, so I think the first and foremost is just using it as a way to get as much information about yourself out there, right? So whether that's posting videos, whether that's posting updates about how you did at a tournament, maybe that's posting your schedule. Hey, here are the tournaments that I'm going to be at over the next few weekends, so that if I'm a college coach and I'm interested in maybe coming to see you, I have that schedule at availability. So I think, again, just from the selfish standpoint when it comes to recruiting, the more positive information you can put out there about yourself is going to attract the interest of college coaches. So again, that's the big part of it. But I think, again, just using it as a way to research programs, follow the schools, the athletic programs that you're interested in, you know, retweeting a college coach's post or posting, you know, the Clemson or the USF coach now talked about it, using it as a way to post motivational things or to cheer on your teammates or support other people throughout the community, showing what you're doing as a student athlete, showing what you're doing in the classroom, in the community. Again, all those sort of things can be used as a way, again, to market yourself. That's ultimately what you're doing on social media. You're marketing yourself as an individual to these college programs if you're using social media the right way.
Yeah, well said, well said. Man, believe it or not, David, we made it through the first half. How you feeling?
Feels natural. I feel like I'm talking to a friend from 20 years ago, and we're just catching up about the recruiting world and social media, so I'm feeling good. How are you feeling, Glenn? That's more important.
Yeah, hey, man. I appreciate it, man. I'm feeling great, man. You're doing a fantastic job. I love it. I love what we're doing here, and we love what we're talking about. And I know we're just scratching the surface with this, but there's so much more I want to get into. So let's take a quick break. Let's get into a word from our sponsor, and we'll come back and dive back into that. How's that sound?
Sounds wonderful. Let's do it.
All right. More with David Kimiasik after this.
LMH Strategies is a leadership, management, and human systems consulting company that specializes in business transformation, program management, and supplier diversity. The professional team at LMH Strategies brings a diverse range of national and global experiences in various industries to help your organization achieve its objectives and deliver measurable solutions. LMH Strategies' impact results in improved workforces, better businesses, and a brighter world. Commercial, government, and higher education markets trust LMH Strategies as their business partner. And the team at LMH Strategies welcomes the opportunity to earn your trust too. For more information, go to lmhstrategies.com.
David, social media can be tempting for young adults. And what I did for my son when he was kind of going through the recruiting process, kind of like what you said earlier, you know, if you want to post some things because that's what you want to do as a 17, 18-year-old kid, go ahead and do that. But let's get two social media accounts, one personal for you and one that's going to be strictly business. So do you advise athletes to have two social media accounts, one for personal use and one for athletics? And does that really make a difference?
Yeah, I think it's a smart approach for sure. I think, if, you know, again, you need to have the business one for sure. And again, I think it depends on that individual and what they want to do with their personal accounts. But just, I think you still need to be aware of the fact that just because you have two accounts doesn't mean the college coaches won't want to look at the other account. You know, they're still going to be curious if they see that you have Twitter accounts and one's your recruiting one and one's maybe private and you can only, you know, get it if you're allowed in. And a college coach is going to want to probably see that as well. So it can certainly make sense. And again, I think as long as the athlete isn't posting anything, you know, negative on either of the accounts, you know, I think that makes perfect sense. You know, back in my old life, I had two social media accounts because I was doing some stuff for a TV station, but I also wanted to have kind of my personal account and didn't want kind of those two worlds blending together. So I think, you know, in the Twitter world, in the Instagram world, I think that makes sense. I think for Facebook, you know, you can just have the one page. I don't think, you know, Facebook's as popular these days as it is. So I think it's a smart approach, but don't think that professional one is going to eliminate that coach's curiosity and seeing what your personal one is like as well. So don't be, you know, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and showing two personalities with two different social media accounts. But I think that certainly makes sense for sure.
Yeah. You know, I know we've been focusing a lot on the high school athlete and the social media as it relates to them recruiting. But honestly, the same thing goes to when you actually are a part of the team in a college. You got to still be careful about what you post, what you tweet out, you know, what you say on social media, because those are consequences that can be still detrimental to you, detrimental to your team. And you got to be careful, man, because you can still get suspended from the team. You still can get suspended or possibly expelled from the school. So talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, bulletin board material, right? Yeah. You know, college athlete posts something about another program or a game or a team, whatever the case is. So yeah, when you're a college athlete, I think you have to be that much more careful when you use social media. But I think what's also bigger picture even is just how the world uses social media. And I think it goes beyond just what you post in your social media. But this day and age, if you're a college athlete and you're out somewhere and you're well-known in your community and you do something in public that somebody else captures and posts on their social media, that can also, you know, reflect in a negative light as well. Again, just the fact that everyone has a camera in their pocket these days, mm-hmm. or a camera, you know, can record video, can record photos, whatever the case is. I think college athletes need to be especially aware of that because, again, this day and age, you know, you make one mistake in public and who knows. So it goes beyond just what they're posting on their social media page, but also just how they act in public and the fact that everyone else can post stuff on their social media page about these athletes as well. So for college athletes, again, it can be used, I think, from the NIL standpoint, mm-hmm. right? It's a way to really enhance your brand ultimately as a college athlete. And I think that's something that, again, a lot of college athletes are going to be thinking more and more about these days, is how can I use my persona, my brand on social media to maybe draw some interest and make some money for myself. Again, that's just a shift that we're going to be seeing in college athletics and certainly with social media.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny that when you was just kind of going through those touch points, the first thing that came to my mind is that old school 80s song from Rockwell and Michael Jackson. It always feels like somebody's watching me.
In this day and age, it's true, right?
I mean, that's right.
You're a pro athlete, you're a college athlete, and you're well known. You can't walk down the street without someone taking a video or a picture. And I don't envy these athletes that are having to do that. And again, you just have to be that much more aware. Mm-hmm. Again, if you think about like the 90s when the Jordan and the Rodman teams were running around in Vegas, like social media stuff that would have blown up there, right? I mean, it's just a different world nowadays, for
no
sure.
No doubt, for sure. So let me ask you this, from a coach's point of view, speak to what does a high school athlete's social media behavior, whether positive or negative, what does social media behavior imply about them from a coach's point of view?
Yeah, and again, I think, you know, college coaches probably have an idea as to who the individuals are if they're going to be really following them on a social media platform. But again, you know, these college coaches are having phone conversations. They're not, you know, spending hours and hours learning about each student athlete, you know, and their history, their background. So that's what that social media page does, is it gives them a look into what are their hobbies, what are their habits, what are their, you know, what's their personality like. You know, some people use social media and are funny or are, you know, serious. So again, it gives them a little bit of a peek in terms of who that person is. But again, I think it's just such a slippery slope with what you're posting on your social media page. And again, for a high school athlete, I mean, again, I have a niece and nephew that are 15 years old. They're gonna be sophomores in high school, and you know, they're on social media on their phones all day. And again, you know, I even kind of tell them, and they're not necessarily, you know, gonna be college athletes maybe, but you just gotta be careful what you post out there these days. And again, even for parents, you know, parents follow your kid's social media page. You know, you should be on top of this stuff. If you see something that is questionable or something that maybe isn't going to put your student athlete in a good light, as a parent, you can be on top of that stuff. And like you said, I think that education comes into play because, you know, again, social media is supposed to be fun, right? That's the whole purpose of it. It's to be fun. It's to get your personality out there. But again, in the recruiting world, it can be sometimes a negative if you're doing a little too much crazy stuff out there.
No, I agree. And I know this may seem very obvious, but this may not be so obvious for others because it continues to keep happening. But what are some of the social media no-nos? School us on that for a minute.
Yeah, I think language first, you know, first and foremost. Again, this day and age, people just kind of post whatever they want. So I think just, again, being professional with your language there. I'm going to take a little bit of a different spin here, Glenn, and just getting to the recruiting process a little bit more. But again, a social media no-no is don't rely on social media to be the main way that you're going to get recruited. Social media can be an asset in the recruiting process, but if you're relying solely on, well, I'm just posting all my videos on Instagram, that's not the best way to get yourself recruited. So many kids are doing that. So many kids are going on social media, posting their videos, all that sort of stuff. College coaches don't have time to just randomly search Instagram for videos. They're going there because they know somebody already. So you have to do a lot of things in the recruiting process, and social media is a piece of that, but it shouldn't be the sole purpose. So I think if I can kind of maybe spin that question a little bit, I think the biggest no-no is relying on social media to be the sole way that you're going to get recruited. That's a huge, I think, mistake that people use or that people kind of think of. Again, it makes sense, but again, college coaches aren't just going on social media page and randomly searching kids. They're going there to search somebody they've already identified, they've already evaluated and think is a potential recruit for their program. So again, it's going to spin that one a little bit, but don't rely on social media to be the be-all, end-all of your recruiting process.
Yeah, good point, man. I didn't even think about it like that, but you're right. You know, there's thousands of kids out there, like you said, both male and female, playing all types of sports. Everybody wants to get noticed, but it's literally impossible for college recruiters or coaches or staff or whoever just to be able to scrub the internet and look for these different types of players. So you got to use it, but don't rely on it. This is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. I think another thing that's really become interesting with social media is the student athletes, you know, blessed to receive an offer from, you know, and where they're kind of letting other people know what is going on in their recruiting process. I think it's an interesting way to think about recruiting because there's some strategy behind that, right? If you're posting on social media that you received an offer, so we'll dive into that one. But I think that's a really interesting way that social media is being used these days. And I think there's some strategy behind that that student athletes can use to their advantage for sure.
Absolutely. 100% agree with that. So obviously profane language, you know, posting highlight videos with profane language or violent lyrics, also getting into Twitter beefs, trash talking, like you said earlier, to other teams, even giving an opponent the motivation to win, and even accepting sometimes requests or liking posts from fans, boosters, alumni. An athlete may not think twice, but likes might also can be seen like as an endorsements of particular products, which would be a violation of NCAA rules. All this has to be taken into consideration when you're posting on social media. Is that correct?
For sure. First and foremost, college coaches don't care what music you're playing underneath your highlight video. So let me say that first of all. They don't care if you've got the latest Drake song out there. You know, they just want to see you play. They don't care about your music tasting. So when you're making a highlight video, coaches don't care about the music. It's going to, again, be cool for you and your friends and all that. But if you're making a highlight video, keep that stuff out. But yeah, I think it's an interesting, you know, perspective too, because you have so many adults even these days that are trashing these kids on social media. And it's easy for them to receive negative feedback. And yeah, I mean, you know, picking on a 16, 17 year old kid because he didn't commit to this school or whatever the case is. Like, again, it's just a different world, and it's easy to get sucked into the temptation of defending yourself or to feel like you need to stand up for yourself or a teammate. So again, you've got to have some thick skin too when you're on social media as an athlete, especially for these highly recruited kids that are going to get, you know, different fan bases talking to them and trashing on them or trying to get them to come to their school. And again, the NIL does make it a little bit more kind of freedom in terms of removing some of those risks of violations from the NCAA. But again, you just got to be careful, and you have to know that if you're a high level athlete and you're on social media, you're going to get backlash. I mean, that's just the way it is these days.
Yeah. Completely agree, man. I understand that nobody's perfect. And like we said earlier, these are 16, 17, 18 year olds, and even 20, 23 year olds. And mistakes tend to happen on social media, particularly when you're uneducated on how to properly use social media for your benefit. So how should high school or even college students or college athletes go about fixing social media mistakes when they've posted something inappropriate?
Yeah. I think hopefully first and foremost, you know, take a second before you hit that post button, right? I mean, just really think about what you're putting out there, and is it something that is even worth your name being connected to? Whether that's, again, posting a statement or a link to something, whatever the case is. In terms of fixing it, I think, again, if they posted something that gets negative backlash, you just got to own it and use it as an opportunity to learn. I think you're seeing professional athletes do that these days as well, where if they post something and that's getting some negative feedback, just owning that, hey, this was insensitive or whatever the case is. But again, hopefully you're not getting to that point where you need to fix something if you're really being thoughtful and thinking about it. And again, if you're a high school athlete and you know, you're not sure if you should post something, it probably sounds weird. Ask your mom, ask your dad, ask your coach, ask somebody that's a little bit maybe more experienced in life and can provide some wisdom to you. But again, this day and age, that stuff goes online and it's there forever. Someone takes one screenshot of it, it's there forever. You can delete it.
That's right.
But if someone took a screenshot of it, that's not going away. So again, think twice before you click that send button or click that post button.
I got to take a page out of Coach Herman Edwards' playbook when he says, don't hit send. Just don't hit send. You can type it. You can, you know, get ready to hit tweet, whatever, read over it, like you said, but just don't hit send.
Yeah. Well, again,
and there's plenty of times. You know, there's plenty of times where even me, you know, I get caught up on social media and look at things, particularly, you know, as we're looking at college athletes and somebody might say something and I want to say something back so bad and I don't actually even have it written out. But then I'll just look at it and I'm like, you know what? Let me just delete this and keep scrolling.
Now we're not worth your time in most cases, right? It's not worth your time to get involved with that sort of stuff. But, you know, I think with the social media aspect of what we talked about a little bit earlier is, you know, your name is associated with that forever.
That's right.
Forever. Like, that's a big responsibility. And we live in a world where people, you know, are counting their likes and they're counting their follows. And you know, that's a braggadocious thing to do in life these days is, oh, I got this many follows or I got this many likes. College coaches don't care about how many likes you have or how many follows you have. So just, again, try to do your best to keep it professional. keep the personal stuff to yourself again, or use that personal account that you know can maybe not be seen in a light by thousands and thousands and thousands of people.
Yeah. So here's the deal, David. If an athlete realizes they posted something inappropriate, obviously you need to delete it immediately. But talk about this. Does deleting it right away make it go away forever?
Yeah, no, I think you see, you know, tweets these days where someone posts something and then you'll see someone, you know, reply to it and it says like that tweet is currently unavailable. So they'll delete that post. But again, one person takes a screenshot of that and puts it back out on social media. Right. You can't control that. So a lot of this is right. out of your control. Right. Once you hit that send button, you're putting it into a world where billions of people can see it and one person screenshots That's it. Right. And then you realize that you shouldn't post it, then you know that could still go viral and not in a positive way. So again, right. delete isn't always the solution. So again, that's why before you even send it or post it, even think like, am I going to maybe have to delete this one day? Because if you are, then don't even post it.
That's right. I agree, man. But you know, kids sometimes think that they can outslick a can of oil. So they'll just change the settings from public to private so it won't be accessible by everyone, as if that's really going to get them a get out of jail free card for sharing offensive contact. And spoiler alert, it's just not, is it?
Yeah. And if I'm a college coach and your account is public and all of a sudden it's private and I'm following you, I'm going to think, all right, why is it private? You know, so again, you know, those little tricks in the world, again, college coaches, adults are smart and they can figure that stuff out. So, again, I can't say it enough. You just have to be very careful these days as to what you post out there in the world, because again, things go viral, snap of a finger these days.
Right. I agree. So let's take a moment to focus on some ideal topics for posts that will help a student athletes position themselves to get noticed by coaches and recruiting coordinators. So tell me, what are some social media best practices that student athletes should be using as it relates to their social media accounts? And what I mean by that is, how can players use their social media accounts to market themselves to recruiters and college coaches in a tasteful manner, or show that they are a team player, or even letting their personality show?
Yeah, I think, again, the videos is, I think, the biggest way that it's being used these days. Again, just updating on who you are as a person, right? And it doesn't have to just be the athletic side. If you got a 4.0 on your second semester of your sophomore year, post that information on social media. So it goes beyond the athletic side of things as well. You know, a lot of, again, motivational type posts. I think we see a lot of kids that are, you know, just good teammates. You can tell when they're posting positive things to other people, other teammates, or whatever the case is. So I think you could even show just what kind of a person you would be in terms of just your ability to be a good teammate and how you inspire other people, or how you compliment other people or congratulate other people, right? I think that can be a really important aspect of it as well. Or even just understanding, you know, how to use it when it comes to updating. Again, we talked about like your schedules or where you're going to be, or maybe what camps or tournaments or showcases you're going to be in. And again, I think the one that we sort of talked about is just the ability to be strategic about using it to promote the fact that you're getting offers. Because again, if you say, hey, I got an offer from this school, and school B sees that school A offered you and school B maybe wasn't ready to offer you, but now knows that school A has offered you, maybe school B is a little bit more, you know, in a hurry to offer you. So I think, again, there's a lot of strategy to use it as well in a positive way that let these coaches know, hey, here's the schools that I've been offered by. You know, maybe that creates a little bit more incentive, or maybe that creates a little bit more motivation for a coach to push a little bit harder to get you. So again,
absolutely,
high school athletes can use it strategically to play the field a little bit, to play the game, because that's what college coaches are doing, right? College coaches aren't just recruiting one quarterback. They're recruiting 50 different guys for one quarterback spot. So as a student athlete, you can't just rely on that one school. So how can you use that as a way to, you know, to get numerous coaches, numerous schools, maybe numerous offers, and even play them against each other a little bit, which is a unique way of thinking about social media.
Perfect, man. And that just kind of leads me up to the next question, because I was thinking about when my son was going through the recruiting process and he started using social media. I told him the same thing. We got to develop a social media strategy. And oftentimes kids aren't thinking about their strategy to getting noticed, because it goes beyond just personal tweets and posts. So, for example, we just didn't follow coaches, but we followed their program. We didn't just follow a star players, but we sent congratulatories on wins or big plays. So in other words, part of our strategy was to build a relationship with coaches and players. So when we went on a visit, they already knew who we were. So talk to us about how should an athlete develop a social media strategy and give us some more examples of what that looks like.
Yeah, I think the way that you talked about it's a great example. I think you do have to probably be careful that you're not using it too much to post about specific programs, because I don't think you want to be pumping up all about school A on your Twitter account at college, and then school B sees that and thinks, all right, like, well, they're focused on school A. They're not worried about school B. So I think there's a balance to how you do that. But I think in terms of developing a strategy, it again comes down to, first and foremost, you have 15, 16, 17-year-old kids that really use social media for, they don't think about it in a strategic, how do I use it to advance myself? I think adults think about that more regularly because of businesses and jobs and just kind of becoming part of the world. So I think it really comes down to sitting down as a parent, like you said, having a conversation with your student athlete about what their social media page is going to entail, what are they posting, and how you can use that to be, again, strategic and use it to your advantage. So I think in terms of coming up with that approach, I think you have to figure out what's important to you as a student athlete, and what's important to you as a family, because each family is going to be a little bit different in terms of what their goal is when it comes to the recruiting process. So I think you have to really figure out what your goal is. How do you then use that? But I think, like you hit on, following coaches, following the programs, you know, retweeting things that maybe they're sending, or retweeting things that other athletes are sending. Again, coaches can see that and they can be aware of that. So again, sit down with your student athlete, have that conversation, because again, the way the way my 15-year-old niece and nephew look at social media is a heck of a lot different than the way that I look at social media. So have that conversation and educate them on how social media can be used, not just as a fun way to see random videos of dogs singing to a whatever these days, but how it can be used to, in a professional way, and again, as a strategic way.
Absolutely. And for the parents who share their athletes' accomplishments on social media, what should they be saying? And is it okay for them to share with that social media post with recruiters and coaches?
Yeah, I think, again, parents need to be very strategic as well, right? You can post updates about your kids, post videos, post stats, how they did in a recent game. You as a parent can be sort of the hype man for your student athlete if you use your social media page the right way. So again, very much comes down to, again, college coaches aren't stupid. They're going to look at maybe a parent's page, and if there's something that's really negative or something that's overbearing, you know, you hear about the helicopter parent a lot of times in the sports world. You can kind of sense some of that from
and that
parents.
Wasn't me.
And good thing it wasn't, right? But again, we've heard stories about, you know, college coaches not recruiting a kid anymore because of the way their parents were, how their parents treated the umpires or the coaches. So the parents play a big role in recruiting, whether you know it or not. And again, as a parent, you don't want to be the one who's posted something that's going to possibly cost your student athlete a scholarship or an opportunity at their dream school. So parents need to be just as aware, but they can really use it in a positive way too, to promote the positive things that their student athlete is doing.
Yeah, I agree. Here's something I just thought about from an NCSA standpoint. If you're working with a potential recruit and you guys see something that's kind of sketchy on one of your members' social media posts, how do you guys deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, we'll let that student athlete know. And again, we're not trying to tell them what to do by any means. We're just trying to give them the guidance and understanding of how a post like this or a tweet like this can maybe have a negative reflection on you as a student athlete. So, you know, we host webinars, we host, different educational seminars where families can hop online, and we have specific ones about social media. So we'll spend 45 minutes to an hour talking about the use of social media. So again, you know, from our standpoint, part of what we're trying to do is put the student athlete in the best position to be successful in recruiting. And if we see something that's going to put them in a negative light, we're absolutely going to let them know.
Good. And this kind of goes back to the whole public versus private settings debate. But another overlooked strategy is it actually behooves a standout player to make their social media accounts public, like you were saying earlier, and use their real name, because it just only increases their reach to potential colleges and recruits.
Yeah, and I think with Twitter, right, is you use your name, but then what a lot of student athletes do is you can kind of put a little summary about yourself. You know, put your grad year, put your height, put your position, put your GPA, put that stuff in the subject line or the description of what your Twitter handle is. Because it's easy these days to come up with a cool name like Big Daddy, 42, whatever the case is. Use your name, then use again that summary to be able to kind of put some of the key points. 2023 prospect, shooting guard, 6'2", 19 points a game, or first team All State, whatever that is. Again, use that as a way to kind of be again that headline for who you are as a student athlete.
I think also another big mistake athletes make and unintentionally is having a social media account, having followers, but not having any up-to-date posts or not enough current activities or highlights. So talk about how that can also hurt an athlete's recruiting chances.
Yeah, again, with social media these days, it's so easy to film something on your phone, go home, post it on Twitter, right? So again, use that as an opportunity to update yourselves, and especially for the younger student athletes, right? Because who you are as a freshman or sophomore in high school, you're going to grow, you're going to develop, you're going to get bigger, you're going to get stronger junior, senior year. So being able to show that development for these athletes is really important. If you've grown 3 inches and you've got some new highlights to post those. That's the stuff that's really important. So again, even coaches will use that to see the development of a student athlete. That's where, again, the NCSA profile comes into play, because you can use that to post your videos as well. So when coaches are looking at your profile, they're able to evaluate your video. Maybe they're looking at your video from 6 months ago and then looking at your video from last week and saying, okay, wow, this person really took a big jump in their ability, something that I'm going to be more interested in. So definitely a huge aspect of it in terms of updating the video on a regular basis, using that to, again, highlight who you've developed, or again, using the workouts, or what are you working on this summer? I'm working on my footwork if I'm a quarterback, and showing videos with the cones and the movement and all that sort of stuff. So again, it's an opportunity to show that you're willing to put in the work. And again, for those that have a social media page that really aren't doing anything with it, it's not hurting them, but it's certainly not helping them in the recruiting process.
Yeah, I agree. So David, here's the $100,000 question, right? What are coaches looking for on an athlete's social media account?
Again, keep it simple, I would say. Highlight who you are. So again, we talked about having your name be your name, not something cool nickname or something like that. And then having, again, a description that's going to highlight the most attractive things about you as a potential recruit. And then I think, again, using it to post your videos, to post your stats, to post any positive information about yourself. That's first and foremost what coaches are looking for. Some of the stuff we talked about is really extras. If I'm a college coach and I'm recruiting a kid and I like his video, but he hasn't been posting motivational posts or something like that, it's not going to hurt. It's not going to, deter me from recruiting that student athlete. So again, just use it for, I think, the important aspects of it. Because again, as much as college coaches may be using Twitter, they're not sitting here and spending 7 hours searching every kid's post and every kid, they still have stuff that they have going on. So I think if you keep the meat and potatoes of what coaches are looking for in terms of that video, the stats, the measurables, the grades, any updates about you as a student athlete, that's where you want to kind of that sweet spot to be for your social media page.
Nice. So I know the NCAA permits Division I college coaches to directly contact recruits through a social media platform's private messaging function. And this happens typically after a student has begun their junior year of high school. So we could say that college coaches are allowed to slide into these DMs of the high school athletes that they are most interested in. So walk us through what that means and how players should respond when they get a message from a coach or a recruiter.
Yeah, so just to backtrack for 1 second. So Division I schools, depending on the sport, it's typically either June 15th or September 1st between the sophomore and junior year. So what that means is, as a student athlete, as a freshman or a sophomore, I can email a college coach, I can tweet at a college coach, but they can't respond to me directly until those dates. So that's a really important piece to it. So I'm glad you brought that up. Division II schools as well, June 15th, sophomore, junior year is when the coaches can start directly contacting the student athlete. So some freshmen or sophomores get discouraged because they're reaching out to college coaches and these coaches aren't responding. Well, they can't under NCAA rules. So that's really important to understand is, as a freshman or sophomore, don't be discouraged if coaches aren't responding to your messages, your emails, whatever the case is. They technically cannot until, again, that sophomore, that summer between sophomore and junior year. So it's a really important piece. Again, I think if a coach is reaching out to you on social media, that's an awesome opportunity. Even if it's maybe a school that you haven't heard of or a coach that you don't know, I think it's an opportunity for you to respond to that coach and ask for some more information about their program, maybe try to coordinate a time to get on the phone, hop on Zoom, whatever the case is. So use that as a way to learn about their program, but also begin to build that communication. Because again, that communication is so important these days in recruiting. And a lot of kids have the same level of talent. You know, you can line up 50 kids, they may be all equal, but who you are as a person is really going to help separate you versus your competition. So I think that's a really important piece of it as well. If a coach responds, they slide in that DM and they message you, be curious, ask about their program, you know, ask if you can get on the phone to chat, ask if they have some information they can send you, ask them if they've had a chance to look at your video and what are their takeaways, what are their thoughts. So I always think it's important never to burn a bridge too. You never know when a student athlete is getting recruited by a coach and then all of a sudden that coach leaves to go to another program. And having those relationships, those connections, that network is an important piece to it for sure.
Well said. Well said. So, David, this has been a great discussion. We're actually coming up on our final segment and about to take you through the blitz. But before we get into that, I want you to tell our audience how to take advantage of becoming an NCSA member and what you guys have to offer. And more importantly, if it's possible, how can they get in touch with you?
So our website, ncsasports.org. So hop on there. Again, a lot of great information. I know you said that you've been keeping an eye on the page. A lot of this is great. Information about recruiting in general, broken down by sport, whatever the case is. But you can hop on ncsasports.org. You can start to fill out your recruiting profile. What that does is that sends your information to our team. We'll reach out to you to learn specifically about you as a student athlete, your background, where things are at with recruiting, and then help you really understand where you're at in the process and develop a game plan. And again, we have a lot of great technology from being able to research schools, from student athletes being able to see what coaches opened their email, what coaches viewed their profiles. So there's a lot of great technology that we have to simplify the process for families and to really make that ability to get exposure much, much broader. But again, we've got a team of almost 1,000 employees that are, helping provide that guidance, that education, that handholding, making sure that each step of the way families are doing the right thing. Because again, the recruiting process is a process. There's a lot of different pieces that go into it. And again, so many families we talk to have no clue on how it works or have heard misconceptions about it. So reach out to us. We this is what we do. We've been around for 20 plus years helping families kind of navigate these waters. And if you have any questions, reach out to us. We'll be more than happy to connect. And you certainly can reach out to me personally. KMIECIK at ncsasports.org is my email. So you can always reach out to me as well.
Nice, man. I definitely wish I knew about you guys 10 years ago when my son was kind of going through the process in high school, because you're right. It is a process.
Absolutely. Yeah. He found success though. So, and again, it's a once in a lifetime thing. You can't hit the rewind button and say, okay, I'm going to do high school again and do this recruiting process over. Those 4 years of high school end, and that determines how you did it. So it's a once in a lifetime thing. And, again, a lot of families do it well and do it right. And a lot of families that we talk to are saying, man, I wish we would have started this earlier. I wish we'd have done this or whatever the case is. So again, we've been through this process. So we know what we're talking about, we think.
Absolutely. You guys definitely do. Absolutely. All right, Dave, before I get you up out of here, there's a game I play with all our guests who come on the field called the All Out Blitz. And it's a game where I'll ask you a series of rapid fire questions and you give me the first thing that comes to your mind. And you can explain your answer if you need to, but here's the catch. We only have a 3 minute running clock before the final buzzer sounds, and your answers will determine if you win or lose. So I need you to mentally focus, because the pressure is definitely going to be real. And it's going to be on. All right.
I love pressure. I thrive under pressure, Glenn. So let's go.
All right. Here we go. Question number one, what does a focus driven athlete mean to you?
Focus-driven athlete means someone who knows what they're trying to accomplish. It means someone who can lock in. Someone who is, when they get in the locker room, when they get between the lines, they're focused on what they're trying to accomplish that day and trying to figure out the best way to get themselves and their team better.
Good answer. Question number two, male or female, most successful amateur athlete that NCSA has worked with?
Wow, male or female? This is going to be a good one. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to put one name on this. We've had a lot of individuals get drafted in the first round of the NFL draft, NBA draft. Gosh, I'm a Packers fan, so I'm going to go. Brian Bulaga back in the day was one of the top guys that we had offensive lineman from Iowa. So we've worked with a lot of famous athletes, you know, kids even these days. So it's cool seeing, you know, certain individuals whose kids now are in our network. One of our recruiting specialists recently spoke with Carlos Boozer's family, for example. So his daughter's coming up. So all right, I don't want to keep this too long. Next question. We got 3 minutes. I'm trying to keep this going. So
all right. Best song to get you hyped before the start of a game.
The best song. It depends on the mood. Depends on the moment. I'm a big hip hop guy, so usually anything upbeat. You know, when I was in high school, a lot of Tupac was what I listened to before games.
Dude, you're from Chicago, man. You got to say Common.
I know. I wasn't as mainstream as Tupac was back in the day. That was my pump up music in high school.
Understood.
Sure.
Yeah, understood. Question number four. Who do you think is the most competitive? A, an high school athlete trying to play in college. B, a college athlete who's hungry to get to the next level. Or C, an already established professional athlete.
C, I think it's such a high level to be a professional athlete. I love high school athletics because it's sports in its purest form. But I think what these professional athletes do is unbelievable. I look at like a Steph Curry and see his routines and his pregame rituals. And it's incredible. So I think professional athletes are at a high, high level there for sure.
All right. Final question. What topic would you like to see us discuss on Field Goals for the Focus Driven Athlete? And who would you recommend for us to interview that can speak to that topic? But before you answer, your job is to help bring that person onto the show.
Wow. I guess I'd be cheating if I kept it in the NCSA family, huh?
Not really.
Here's a name that I'm going to bring up. It's Sue Enquist. Sue's a big friend of NCSA. She was a softball coach at UCLA, won 11 national titles. She's spoken at our company a few times, and I've never heard someone talk and want to run through a wall more after hearing them talk from Sue Enquist, who's an incredible perspective on life. Knew John Wooden from back in the days being at UCLA, so has some great stories as well. So big shout out to Sue Enquist. She's amazing, and she knows the softball recruiting world as much as anyone else. So that'd be an interesting one there.
Let's make that happen. We got a lot of people who has daughters that's playing softball, man, that would love to hear her speak. So let's make that happen.
Yeah, softball world's competitive, and it starts early. I mean, part of the reason NCAA had to change some recruiting rules is because how early some of these softball girls were committing as 8th graders, 7th graders. So the NCAA had to put some rules in place to limit or to curb the craziness of how early kids were getting recruited for softball.
Good stuff. Well, Dave, you did it, man. There's the final buzzer. How do you think you did?
You know, I felt good. I felt like I was talking to a friend that we hadn't caught up in a few years and just, you know, shooting the breeze about recruiting and social media, something that's obviously really important. And again, it's going to continue to get more and more important, especially, again, when we talk about the NIL stuff that comes about. So this is a great topic for you to talk about, and privileged to be part of the show and be able to hopefully shed some light and education here for everyone.
Hey, man, you did an excellent job, and you definitely shed a lot of light on this particular topic. So appreciate what all you guys do for amateur athletes. This has been a lot of fun having you on, and I really appreciate and respect what NCAA is doing for amateur athletes and helping them get recruited. And man, as you were going through this interview, man, I was sitting here thinking, man, you might be the first repeat guest we have on this show.
I'll take that as a compliment, Glenn. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So I just need you to do us one favor, and that's to help us get your NCASA circle to listen to your episode and subscribe to our podcast.
Will do. Yeah, we'll definitely get this going and spread the word, because, again, you're bringing up some great points here and super important stuff that, again, families need to know. And if you're a parent, if you're a student athlete, social media, it's not going away. It's going to be around forever, it seems. And the better you know how to handle the situation or to handle that strategy, as we talked about, I think is really going to help benefit you in the recruiting process. And again, how can you use social media as a positive versus let it be something that's going to be a negative for your recruiting process?
Absolutely. That's for sure. So one last question. Do you feel like you left it all on the field?
I mean, I need some water. I need a towel. I mean, you know, I may need a stretch after this, Glenn. So I don't know. I thought I brought it. I don't.
That's what's
I don't know less than 100%, Glenn. So I try to bring it on everything I do.
Yeah, that's what's up, Dave. I really appreciate that, man. Yeah, you give it all, man. You give it all, the best that you got, man. So appreciate that. So, all right, peeps, we're going to be doing this again in two. So make sure you stay connected. Hit that subscribe button and be sure to share with your friends. Also, follow our Twitter handle at MyFieldGoals and connect with us on other social media platforms. All right, you know what's up. Dave's getting up out of here and so am I. We'll see you in two. That's a wrap. You've been listening to Field Goals for the Focus-Driven Athlete. Stay connected with us by liking our Facebook page, Field Goals. You can also join the discussion on our Facebook group page, Field Goals for the Focused Driven Athlete. Also follow us on Instagram at MyFieldGoals. And be sure to head over to our website at www.myfieldgoals.com to subscribe, rate, and leave a review of our show. You can find us on Spotify, iHeartRadio, and all other podcast hosting platforms. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to having you join us again soon on the field.